Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive with us. Today we're taking a look at plant frugivore interactions.
You know, like birds and bats and all those creatures that love to eat fruit.
Right. And we're going beyond just thinking about which species interact and looking at how individual plants within a species interact with their frugivore friends.
It's super interesting. We'll be diving into a paper from 2025 by Quintero and their team. It was published in PNAS.
Oh, cool. I think I saw that one.
Yeah. So they basically asked, do individual plants have their own preferred sets of frugivores?
Like, do they have their own little social circles within the larger ecosystem?
Exactly. And if so, do these individual preferences, what they call interaction niches, actually create patterns that we can see across different environments?
Okay, so interaction niche, can you maybe break that down a bit?
It's actually pretty simple. Just imagine, like, you have a group of friends that you love to hang out with, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So that's like your social niche. And for a plant, their interaction niche is basically the set of frugivores that they prefer to interact with.
So it's the group of animals that consistently visit that particular plant to munch on its fruit.
Yep.
So it's almost like some plants are picky eaters, but instead of choosing what they eat, they're choosing who eats them.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
But I guess, why does this even matter? Like, why are we looking at individuals? Don't we usually think about these interactions at the species level? Like, this type of bird eats this type of berry.
Traditionally, yes. But Quintero and his team, they argue that if we only focus on species, then we might be missing some really important details.
Okay, so like what kinds of detail?
Like how evolution and ecology are connected. Like how does evolution act on individual preferences?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Like, sure, humans in general love pizza.
Yeah.
But some people like pepperoni, some are vegetarian, and some might even be allergic to cheese. It's the individual preferences that make things interesting.
Exactly. And those preferences can have big effects throughout the ecosystem. Now, to get to like the core of their research, Quintero and his team use some really complex methods to analyze a bunch of plant frugivore networks.
Okay.
So some of these networks were based on interactions at the species level. So that's like the traditional view. And others were built around the interactions of individuals.
So were they trying to see if individual preferences actually make a difference?
Yes. And what they found was actually pretty surprising.
What was that?
Well, both types of networks, the ones based on species and the ones based on individuals, they showed similar structures.
Wait, so you're saying that even though individual plants might be picky about which frugivores they interact with, those preferences don't just disappear when we look at the species as a whole.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that challenges some of our assumptions about how these things work, right?
It really does. It suggests that those individual choices, those interaction niches, are actually like shaping the overall structure of the network.
It's like a hidden layer of order within what seems like a pretty chaotic web of interactions.
Yeah, exactly. So essentially they found that individual specialization exists. Plants really do have their favorites.
So they found that individual plants consistently interacted with a specific subset of frugivores.
Yes, and it wasn't just random chance. They were choosing their partners.
Wow.
And get this, the level of specialization actually varied depending on where the plants were located.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so plants in the Mediterranean region showed different patterns of specialization compared to plants in like southern temperate or tropical regions.
Hmm. Okay, now that makes me wonder, why would location matter? I mean, is it something about the types of frugivores found in different regions, or maybe the climate plays a role?
You know, those are excellent questions. And the study didn't pinpoint the exact causes, but it definitely hints at a deeper connection between a plant's environment and its interaction niche.
It's almost like the environment is influencing who a plant chooses to hang out with.
Right.
This is already making me see those, like, simple interactions we see in nature in a whole new way. Like, there's so much more going on beneath the surface.
Totally.
But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I am really curious about something you mentioned earlier, the idea that certain frugivores are super popular. Didn't the study find that just a small number of frugivores were responsible for most of the interactions, even in really diverse ecosystems?
You have a great memory. It's true. And it was one of the most intriguing findings. In every single plant population they looked at, just 1 to 3 frugivore species dominated the interactions.
Hold on. Just 1 to 3 species. But what about all the other frugivores out there?
Yeah, you'd think with more options, plants would spread the love, but apparently not.
It's like saying only a handful of people get invited to all the best parties.
That's a hilarious analogy.
Yeah.
And it raises a question that has puzzled ecologists for a long time.
Which is,
why are some frugivores so popular? Is it simply because they are more abundant? Or are there other factors at play? Do they have certain traits or behaviors that make them more attractive to plants? That's what we'll explore next.
Okay, so we've got these plant socialites and then like the wallflowers. But only a few frugivores are getting invited to the party to help spread those seeds. Like, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Yeah. I mean, you'd think that in a more diverse ecosystem, the plants would, like, spread the love around more.
Yeah, you'd think so. But what's interesting is that the research found that the most popular frugivores, they weren't just abundant, you know? They were actually interacting with the widest range of plants.
Oh, so maybe it's not just about showing up. It's also about being a good networker.
Uh-huh. Right.
Even in the plant world.
Exactly. So maybe these popular frugivores are just really good at what they do.
Yeah.
Like maybe they're really good at spreading seeds or something, so plants favor them.
Like they're the best at what they do.
Yeah. And maybe they have digestive systems that are particularly gentle on seeds, or maybe they have flight patterns that take them across long distances. Like, we don't really know.
But
there's a lot more research that needs to be done to figure out what makes them so effective.
Oh, that's so cool. It's making me see all those like birds I see in my backyard in a whole new light. But, before we, like, get too far down the rabbit hole of super frugivores, I want to kind of circle back to those individual interaction profiles that we were talking about earlier. You know, like the keystones and the specialists and all that.
Yeah.
I'm having a little trouble picturing how those different personalities fit into the whole network.
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's helpful to think about each profile as playing, like, a unique role in the ecosystem. So let's start with those keystone individuals. So remember, those are the plants with like the largest social circles. They interact with a wide variety of frugivores and they're super central to the network.
Okay. So if something happened to those keystone plants, it would be a pretty big deal.
Huge. Their absence would have like cascading effects throughout the whole network. And it could even disrupt seed dispersal for other plants.
Oh, wow.
And it could impact the populations of certain frugivores. They're like the glue that holds everything together.
Okay, that makes sense. And then what about the specialists? Those are like the picky eaters, right?
Yeah.
Are they as important as the keystones?
Well, they might be important in a different way. So their specialization could actually be a form of risk management.
Okay.
By relying on a few specific frugivores, they're less vulnerable to like changes in the overall frugivore community. So if one of their partners declines, they still have others to fall back on.
It's like hedging their bets.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And then the overlapping plants, they're the ones that share a lot of partners with other plants, right? So I'm guessing they kind of add like a level of redundancy to the network.
You got it. So their role might be to provide a buffer against like disturbances. So if one plant gets wiped out, the overlapping plants can step in and make sure that the frugivores still have access to fruit.
So it's like an insurance policy for the ecosystem.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. It's amazing how these different personalities all contribute to the overall health and stability of the network.
That's really cool. Mm. But there's one profile that we haven't talked about yet, and that's the neutral individuals.
Mm.
And they're the ones that are kind of average in everything. I'm still not really sure what their role is. Are they just kind of like there?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Their role is a bit of a mystery, but it doesn't mean they're not important. You know, they might be important for like maintaining a baseline level of connectivity in the network.
Okay.
Or maybe they're kind of a blank slate, you know, individuals that are still figuring out their place in the world.
So even the average Joes have a part to play.
Oh,
I love that.
Me too. And what's even more remarkable is that these four profiles, keystone, specialist, overlapping, and neutral, they showed up in every single network that Quintero and his team analyzed.
Wow.
No matter the location or the species involved, that kind of consistency is pretty mind-blowing.
So it's like there are some fundamental rules governing these interactions that just transcend individual species and environments.
Exactly. It's like a secret code that we're just beginning to crack.
Okay. Now you've got my attention. Let's talk about that. All right. So we've uncovered all these hidden patterns in plant frugivore interactions. We've got these different personalities like the keystones and the specialists. And we know that some frugivores are like the social butterflies of the ecosystem. But like, what does this all mean? You know, like in the big picture.
Yeah.
Especially with climate change and all that.
Yeah. Well, that's where things get really interesting. This research isn't just about, you know, understanding how plants and animals interact today. It's about understanding how those interactions might change in the future.
Right.
And what we can do to protect the delicate balance of these ecosystems.
Okay, so you're saying that these individual preferences, those interaction niches, could actually have like major consequences for how ecosystems respond to things like climate change.
Exactly. So like imagine a plant that has evolved to rely on a specific set of frugivores.
Yeah.
And then those frugivores start to disappear because like their habitat changes or their food sources become scarce.
Yeah.
That plant is going to be in trouble.
It's like suddenly losing all your friends and having no one to turn to.
Yeah, it's a pretty bleak picture.
Yeah.
But understanding these dynamics gives us a chance to make better conservation decisions.
Okay, so like what can we do?
Well, for instance, if we know which plants are keystones in a particular ecosystem, then we can prioritize protecting those individuals and their habitats.
So it's not just about protecting species anymore. It's also about protecting those specific relationships between individuals.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes conservation a lot more complex.
It does, but it also makes it more targeted and effective.
Right.
You know, we can actually focus on preserving those interactions that are super important for the overall health and resilience of the ecosystem.
That makes sense. But I'm also kind of curious about those like popular frugivores we were talking about. If they're so important for connecting different parts of the network, wouldn't they also be more vulnerable to environmental changes?
Absolutely. Because they interact with so many different plants, any changes in their population could have huge effects throughout the ecosystem.
So it's like a domino effect.
Exactly. So protecting those popular frugivores might be just as important as protecting those keystone plants.
It sounds like it's all about understanding those connections, how everything flows together.
Yeah.
And how all of those interactions contribute to the stability of the network.
It is. It's like a giant puzzle, and we're just starting to put the pieces together.
But this research gives us a whole new way of looking at those pieces, a way that recognizes the importance of individual variation and the interconnectedness of everything in nature.
And, you know, this understanding isn't just important for, like, ecologists and conservationists.
Oh, yeah.
It also has implications for things like agriculture and restoration ecology as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, if we want to design better agricultural systems, we need to think about those individual interactions.
Exactly. Instead of relying on monocultures that are really vulnerable to pests and diseases, we can try to learn from nature.
Yeah.
And create more diverse, resilient systems that kind of mimic those complex interactions found in natural ecosystems.
So for our listener today, what would you say is like the big takeaway message here?
I'd say the next time you see like a bird eating a berry or a bat pollinating a flower, just take a moment to appreciate how complex that interaction really is.
Yeah.
It's not just a random thing that's happening. It's the result of millions of years of evolution. It's a delicate dance between individuals that has literally shaped the world around us.
And those seemingly small interactions,
yeah,
those individual choices that plants and animals are making every day, are actually driving those bigger patterns we see in nature.
Yeah. And as we deal with the challenges of a changing world, understanding those connections becomes more important than ever.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that everything is connected. Even the smallest actions can have ripple effects throughout the ecosystem.
It's definitely a humbling thought, but also kind of empowering in a way.
Yeah.
Like, it means that each of us has a role to play in protecting the incredible diversity of life on this planet.
So keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep being amazed by the interconnectedness of it all.
That's great advice. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.